No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules. And at the end of the day, my friends, no comparison. Welcome back to another edition of BOA The Revival. And I'm really looking forward to tonight's show. Our guests appeared on the program back during sort of one of our weird phases where we sort of did like five episodes and stopped. And then, you know, we had these sort of stop and starts. And during that time, it was December of 21, which doesn't feel like that long ago, but really was actually quite a while ago. Amanda Paulson, paranormal ponderer, researcher, investigator, and medium. And we had a super fun conversation back then. And as I was saying to Amanda, I kind of like sheepishly messaged her last month where I'm like, I don't know if you remember me, but I interviewed you because I'm like a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of her videos and just her, I don't want to call it brand, but her content, it's awesome. And it's very genuine. I feel like she's like, maybe I'm just not on these sites enough. So it's like, oh no, everyone's like that. But it's like, feels like she's talking to you. And it's like, oh, okay, this is, you know, I kind of jive with that. And she has all these cool ideas. And she's like, let's try this. Let's do something different. This week I'm going to do something with this thing. I'm going to take a curse off this. So we'll get into the haunted necklace. The whole saga, just like I was like riveted, and so I'm a huge, huge fan of her stuff, and so I was like, let's get her back on But All of America. So welcome back to the show, Amanda. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been way too long. I cannot believe it's been since 2021.
That absolutely, is yeah, mind. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. Now, first things first, you just got back from the Oregon Ghost Conference where you presented on the paranormal emotive touch point. And I think this is new since we talked. Like, this is something you've come up with since we last chatted. This is why I'm a big Amanda Paulson fan. She comes up with ideas and shit, man. She's like, let's try this. Here's the thing, you know, she comes up with cool ideas and new ways of looking at things that I can really appreciate and make you think. So first of all, before we get into the paranormal emotive touch point, what was your experience at the Oregon Ghost Conference? Because I was surprised to see you posted on Twitter that you'd never been to a paranormal conference at all before. So that was like, wow, I figured for sure you would have gone to at least one. But so I was kind of amazed by that. So how'd you like that?
Yeah, it was the first real like paranormal conference I've ever been to. I've been to a strange event, strange escapes event once that Amy Bruni runs, but that was overseas. It was totally different. This was like a true paranormal conference. I spoke at it. It went really great. I gave a lecture or like a presentation that I've been working on kind of since 2021, actually, is when I first started sort of trying to articulate the idea that I had, and sat on it for a long time. And then I finally applied. I just sent in an application like anyone else to the Oregon Ghost Conference, and they accepted me, and it was very cool. It was awesome. It was like 3 days long in a place called Seaside, Oregon, which is on the coast of Oregon. So it's right on the beach. Have you ever been to the Oregon coast?
No, maybe Northwest? When I was a kid. No, but Pacific Northwest, definitely someplace I want to check out.
Yeah, it's cool. And the beach it's kind of like going to the beach in like New England. It has like a different vibe to it. The weather is a little bit different. It's not like a California beach. So, and it was right on the beach, like a couple blocks away. So, the location was perfect. Everyone there was awesome. And it was just really cool to like get to know, the paranormal community in my region, which I haven't gotten to know yet. So it was really cool. Yeah, it was awesome. I had a great experience. I'm excited to do it again. There are already things that I'm picking apart. I'm like, I could have done this different or this different.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I needed to get the first time out of the way. And I asked them if they would, you know, like me to come, and they approved it. So it's like a lot of people who maybe are listening or who wonder how that process works. For me, I like literally had to send in an application like anyone else, and they had to approve it. So
yeah,
I'm grateful.
That sounds really cool. Yeah, I've never been to a ghost conference. I should check one out. I've been to a bunch of different UFO, all kinds of, you know, different conferences, but I think a ghost one would be fun. I like this sort of side attractions. I think you posted a picture like you got your aura taken.
Yeah. Yeah, I got an aura photo taken, which I've been wanting to do that forever. And that was really neat. And I was like an indigo violet, primarily violet, I think, aura. I don't know anything about auras. I don't even know if I 100% believe in all of it, but I liked it. It made sense to me, and it was fun. And there was like lots of stuff like that. And the cool thing about this region too, the Pacific Northwest has such a strong UFO and cryptid community that a paranormal conference kind of encompasses it all. So we had people there into UFOs, people into Sasquatch, like all sorts of different kinds of people.
Nice. Yeah. I'd like to check that out sometime. So paranormal emotive touch point. I've seen the videos. I've read the blog posts. I'm vaguely kind of familiar with it. But let's sort of roll this out for the Banal of America listeners. This is your idea. And it's really cool as hell. So what is the paranormal emotive touch point concept?
Yes. So the paranormal emotive touch point theory is what I would call it.
Okay.
I theorize that there are touch points or soft spots throughout the world in which the veil to the other side is thinner, and they are identified by the presence of odd emotions. And I define odd emotions as things like liminality, nostalgia, deja vu, which are more occurrences too, but we kind of umbrella blanket term and say odd emotion, synchronicity, those kind of weird anomalous emotions that don't happen too often and feel just paranormal in nature. I theorize that if we are to pay attention to those emotions that we have in that moment, we can actually contact the other side easier, regardless of if there is a traditional haunting or actually a history of paranormal phenomena in that space. So you could be standing in the middle of an abandoned Kmart or something, and you feel liminal, you feel weird. If you stop in that moment and say, you know what, I want to try to contact the spirit of my grandma right now, I theorize that you would have an easier time doing so because the veil is thinner at that moment because of the presence of this odd emotion.
And so what do you recommend? Like, I would like to try to put this into practice. I have not done so, but I have thought about it from reading and seeing your videos where I'm like, okay, so now I'm glad I got you on the show so I can figure out more about how to do that. So when someone experienced, like if someone's experiencing deja vu or, you know, synchronicity or liminality, like you said, but what's the next step? What do you do if you're in that situation, you know?
Yeah. So assuming you're in a safe spot, like not driving or something, you stop and also, if you had a piece of equipment on you or near you, say it's happening at home, that would be ideal because you can use ITC devices, things like Spirit Box or an Ovilus, something that gives you like intelligent responses. You're not trying to quantify an anomalous like figure, so you don't need like a motion sensing thing or anything like that.
Something
that can give you answers is great.
Yeah, something that has feedback,
Exactly. Tarot can work, pendulum, Ouija board even. I mean, anything that can kind of, you can communicate with. But I also happen to use trance state and like a meditative state a lot to also try and journey subconsciously and then journal about it. And really it's all about, on my website, I have like a lot of suggestion questions there too, but it's really about stopping and asking, why is this emotion presenting itself to me? Is there any entity or thing nearby that wants to try to communicate with me?
Yeah.
Why are you presenting yourself in this way? And what can I learn from it? And what can I do for you? Kind of things like that.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of dig into it deeper there. I've done experiments in the past with investigating my own trauma too. And kind of the idea of using traditional ghost hunting methods to investigate the subconscious of the living is sort of like the realm that I exist in now. And so if you just kind of utilize that frame of mind where you're kind of contacting the other as a big, like, casting a wide net, so to speak, and trying to ask very descriptive questions and trying to get to a purpose or a point is how I would investigate these touch points. But I also think that I'm rambling a bit. I'm really passionate about this, as you can tell. But you can also use it on investigations too, or say you're out Sasquatch hunting or whatever you're into, and you feel odd. Maybe even right now, I'm looking out the window and I'm looking at like these weird rain clouds, and the sun is coming through, like a sun shower kind of, and that's kind of weird. It makes me feel a little nostalgic for some reason. It just makes me feel a little odd, you know. And say you're out camping looking for Sasquatch, you feel that, stop and look for Sasquatch at that moment in time. Don't go based off of the phenomena that is already happening. Use your own body and your own emotions to kind of help be a compass to that activity.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. And it would sort of stand to reason, like that this is, that, like you said, the thinning of the veil. It's kind of like a canary in the coal mine, for lack of a word. Like something like, if there's something that's disturbing the ether, you know, it would send kind of maybe like ripple effects out where you'd first feel that those emotions first. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of probably, that how you think of it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You actually understand it very succinctly. And that makes me happy also to know that I'm getting to a point where I can articulate it well too, because it's been a 3-year long journey on trying to like put this theory to, or this idea, put it into a theory that like with a little bow on it that like kind of makes sense, you know, because it started with just like me being like, this is weird. There's a correlation here. I'm having more activity happen when I pay attention to me and these emotions and these things that I'm feeling. And like, I'm a big proponent of like remembering how important the human element is of paranormal phenomena in the search for the other. We can't ignore the huge part of it that we play, you know?
Yeah, we're like a receiver, you know? So we definitely have a role in it. So like, I'm thinking like, okay, so let's say I'm just like at the store, right? Cause you never know when these things are going to happen. That's kind of the thing with deja vu. And you know, you never know when you're going to, but like, if you get that feel, like I'm going to try this. So like, if I get that feeling, rather than like start talking out loud and freak out like lady next to me shopping, but maybe just think to myself, like, is there something within around me that's trying to make contact or would like to contact, would like to be in contact? Is that kind of something that would be how to apply it?
Absolutely. You could either say, you could either go about it like that to say, is there anything out there who would like to contact me at this time? Or for some people, if you had a specific spirit or somebody that you were looking to contact, you could do that as well. But I typically take the angle that is like, okay, what's trying to come through right now? And then you can also use, if you're in a situation like that, where you're truly just with very little resource to investigate it, you can also use things like old divination methods, where you can just say, okay, what's the first thing that crosses my path? What meaning does it have? Say this would work more for like being outdoors. Say a blue jay flies by or something like that, and you could kind of use your surroundings to try to figure out, a woman in a red shirt walked by, and red, can attribute to this feeling or this archetype or this planet. I don't know. Like I could go really off the rails with that. But like, that reminds me of this divination method. Frith, I'm saying that wrong for sure, but it's an old Scottish divination method called Frith. I don't know. I'm pronouncing it terribly, but F-R-I-T-H. And that is this old Frith divination method. Frith. Yeah. Where they used to go, you step outside and you like look through your hole in your fingers or whatever. And you see the first thing that comes across your vision is supposed to like, give you a message or whatever. And that was used way back in the old times. So it'd be like a cow or like
yeah,
I don't
there wasn't
know.
Much to cross your path. Yeah. So wait a minute. What do you, wait, you put your, how do you do it? Oh, like that.
Yeah. Like pointer, finger, thumb, like a circle.
Wow. Weird.
I'm by no means the expert of that divination method, but a rabbit hole that people can perhaps go down if they want to.
Yeah, go down the Frith rabbit hole, folks. It sounds That's a good one. I've never heard of that. That's weird. That's just like, all right. So, all right. So paranormal emotive touch point. And people can find out more about that on your blog and stuff. I think it's really interesting. I'm going to try and apply it to my life. I think people should just to give it a try. Why the fuck not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was imagining talking to you like, okay, so all right, I'm in the grocery store and I do that. And I'm like, well, I don't want to freak out the old lady next to me. Now my imagination's kind of, then, you know, who knows? Then she turns to me and goes, you look like my dead son or whatever. And then you're like, bang, there you go.
Hey, that's
what exactly it's all about, you know?
Yes, exactly. And I also think kind of similar to the way that like, when you start paying attention to synchronicities or talking about synchronicities and how then the synchronicity storm kind of happens after that, I think the same for these emotions and things that we're talking about. Once you start kind of like putting a beacon out there, so to speak, and saying, I'm going to pay attention to this, then things kind of start to connect the dots a little bit.
Right, right. Well, I like about you is that you really are open to this stuff, but in a sort of like, almost skeptically, scientifically, down to earthy kind of way, where it's like, okay, you're into this stuff, but also you have your feet on the ground in a lot of ways, which I really appreciate and like. That's why, like I said, like you're very genuine in your presentations and stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that comes from. I think I've been too grounded in the past. Like I've been very skeptical of my own experiences, especially since I started experiencing the paranormal when I was very young, and I had a hard childhood. I had a rough upbringing, which now as an adult tells me that some of those experiences could have potentially been psychological or a way for me to cope with that. And I've had to then deal with and like try to understand what I believe to be real and what is not. And in doing that, I think I've been able to find a good balance now here today where I'm able to explore this stuff and stay grounded. But it's probably more of a challenge to me to not be so scientific, quote, or skeptical, you know, like I was kind of
struggling for the words there because it's like you say scientific and then people lose, you know, that you know, like,
yeah, well, I know it is. We all know it's pseudoscience, but like, but you know, I had a really traditional ghost hunting background since 2008, and I had to work very hard to move out of this idea that like. I had to move away from my purpose being to quantify the paranormal and to like give it to somebody and say, look, I can prove that the paranormal exists. That's no longer what I'm doing here. I'm trying to understand how and why I interact with the other side and why other people interact with it. And what does that mean for us like holistically as we move forward as a society? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, what really are we doing here? Like, what can we do with this? And how can we make life better here as well as life better for whatever is on the other side as well?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, there's a human element to your work. And what you're saying, too, is also really important because it's like, I think I've joked about this like on the show in the past. But I mean, the ghost hunting thing took off like 20 years ago. So it's like, look, there's no... You're never going to like convince everybody that ghosts are real, like in that mm-hmm. sense. It's like, how much more, how many EVPs do you need? Like, it has to be your own personal journey. I think the idea of like, it's cool to have a ghost hunting group and everything. That's don't get me wrong. But like, if your ghost hunting group is on the quest to prove ghosts, it's like, you're not like to who, like who the fuck, who are you trying to prove ghosts to? Like, everybody knows what fucking ghosts are. They either believe in them or not. It's kind of like.
That's so true, especially now too. And it's like I don't know, and honestly a lot of people have ghost experiences. Like everyone I meet has like some experience with a ghost or a UFO or whatever. And like I don't really think anymore I'm meeting people who are like interested in me coming to them with like a video, of course, would be amazing, but it's not like they're like, give me evidence or die. Like they're like, they're kind of like, okay, now what? Like, why do you explore it? Why do you investigate it? What are you going to do with this, I don't know, wisdom or knowledge? I don't know if you'd call it wisdom. Well, I'm flattering myself there, but.
Well, it's interesting. You did make a really wise point just now, because it is like kind of what I'm saying. It's like the quest for proof, like, put that to the side. Okay, if we accept that this is what it is, like, how can we work with this? How can we use this to better ourselves here, you know, and maybe help whoever's on the other side. So there is like something to it. Like the quest for proof is kind of, it's titillating, but at the same time, I think once you've kind of gotten a really good EVP, you're probably like, how many more do you need? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It kind of makes me think too a lot. Like, I mean, obviously that this is, I'm going to regret saying this, but like, it makes me think of like the UIP disclosures, and it's like, obviously we all have opinions about that, but like they, at this point, people could all but say, like, here, aliens are absolutely real. But then it's right. Like, that wasn't enough for people. People are like, okay, whatever. You know, like, now what? Yeah, so I don't know. I'm trying to answer this call from within. That's like, I need more. I need deeper experience or understanding of this. And I think that that's being reflected, at least in my spaces and, like, my communities. So yeah. That's kind of, like, where I'm trying to exist now.
Now, when we talked a few years ago, the documentary was about to come out. Now the documentary's been out. I think you called it a cursed documentary in one of the things. So how did all that go? Is everything good with the documentary?
So the documentary
Death is
not,
with me is
Death is with me is not out yet.
Oh no!
I know.
You had a premiere, wasn't there a premiere and there was a ghostly experience at the theater? Okay.
Yes. So we had three premieres in 2023. We had one in my hometown of Spokane, Washington. We had one big one in Seattle, Washington, and then we had one in Santa Ana, Southern California. Yeah. And these premieres did awesome. Movie super well received, had a lot of weird stuff happen surrounding these premieres, especially the Seattle premiere, like just tragedy and weirdness, and like every block around the theater before it started was shut down because there was like some atrocity that had happened. And I know, and like everyone had to be rerouted, and then like I could not get for the Spokane premiere, I had issues with the file and all of this stuff. And I was like, this documentary is cursed. I mean, and since the filming even, which I won't get too much into that, I still want to not spoil it because it will come out eventually. Right. But yeah, I did start kind of calling it cursed online, and I stand by that. And it's still not out. They're trying to... I don't have anything to do with like the distribution of it, but from what I understand, the people who helped make the movie are trying to get the best kind of distribution outcome. Yeah, as possible. So I thought it was going to come out a lot earlier because I thought we were going to take a different route with it and kind of put it on YouTube or put it on Tubi or something like that. And they decided to go a different direction with it, which is great because it's a really good movie and it's really a great quality of film. So yeah, but I mean, I do think it is cursed. I think it's cursed. I've yet to find out if it's like cursed if you watch it or not, because we only have three premieres worth of people watching it. I think all those people are fine and safe, but there's something weird. There's something weird to it. Like when it plays, wherever it plays, it's like, I don't know. It's got some weirdness to it, like The Ring or something.
Yeah, weird. Now yeah. I really want to see it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work, I only went like about as far back as like a year on your videos, because I didn't want to also throw like something at you where it's like, what about this thing you did like in 2022? So
yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. So we'll kind of go backwards here on some of these videos. I love them. I'm telling you, I really enjoy watching them. They're just so much fun. So you had a ghost sighting. This was in February. You were like shaken. And when you did the video, you're like, look, I saw a ghost. And it was, you said like, oh, it's kind of like, I don't see ghosts very often. Like, if you're really into this stuff, you're going to haunted locations all the time. But this was like, this sounded like, well, look, it's one thing when you're the one looking for the ghosts, right? It's another thing when the fucking ghost is looking for you. And that's kind of the impression I got. So talk about this ghost experience, let's say, that you had like last month.
Yeah. It's exactly that. It's one thing when you're looking for the ghost and you have control over the environment. And then another thing when you're trying to go to bed and a ghost comes to visit you. And I told this story online. I'll say it again. I was trying to go to bed and some people will say, well, you were dreaming or it was a sleep paralysis or whatever. Right. I know the difference. I've had a lot of sleep hallucinations. I've had a lot of weird sleep things over the years. And there is a difference. You just know. And what had happened was that I looked down at my feet, at the feet of the bed, and there was a woman crawling up from beyond, like, what, like, not behind, underneath, God, underneath my bed at the foot of the bed, crawling up the mattress and grabbed my foot, and I could like see her hands. And what, and that's one thing. So I freaked out. I panicked. I sat back and I like woke my boyfriend up to like, cause I was scared, and he gets up and I look at him and I look back down and it's still there. And he had not like come to yet, but I look down and I'm like looking right at this woman, and I can see details on her face. She's dark hair. She had scratches on her face, like little, little lacerations or whatever. And then I look back at him, and then like, and then it was done, and we were both like lucid, and he like did a check around the room to make sure no one out actually was there, like a real person. And then I found out later on, I didn't tell this story on this part online, but I found out later on that I had had like weird nightmares the rest of the night. Like he kept being woken up by me like screaming in the middle of the night. And I don't remember any of that at all, but I was still really scared. And what's interesting about this situation is that at the same, that same night, I had gone to pick up some dried herbs from a friend, like, rabbit's tobacco was one of them. And then like rue, it was like, she was like, she knew I had some haunted objects and she wanted to kind of help me with that. And she had these dried herbs that were local, and I'd been meaning to pick these up from her for like 5 months. Like I had like not done this for so long, and I finally go and do it. I bring those herbs back home, which are specifically meant to quote exorcise spirits from locations or from people. I have those herbs in my office, and then that's the night I see the spirit. And it really felt like it really felt like it was something, like I don't know who it was or what it was attached to, because at this point I have so many objects in my
apartment. That's what I was gonna ask you.
I there's really no way. I mean, I could really dig into it, but I didn't. I don't know what it's attached to, but I feel like it was like, no, don't let me go, you know, or don't get rid of me. That's what it felt. It was so coincidental with like the timing of that and those herbs being in my house. And I don't normally mess with herbs like that. Like I don't want to exorcise spirits out of my house. I want them to hang out with me. So it felt like she was like, no, I don't want to go, because of the like desperation of like reaching up for me. It scared me. And no, I don't have that happen very often at all. Not like that. And I'm not like, I have, you know, I do these channel drawings now online, and I can channel things. I have my own gifts, but I've never claimed to be like the type of medium that can like call on the other side and just like immediately see them. And I like don't see ghosts in the way that some people say that they can see ghosts. Like, it's more of a visceral experience for me. And so then when I do have the rare experience like that, I'm like, that's a real ghost thing. That's something that could, like it just felt like very like, it is what it is, you know. But it was cool though. I liked it though.
But you must have been scared when it first happened, though. I mean, I would have been like, what the fuck?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I cried after. I was so scared. Like, like, I cry when I'm scared. But I after I saw it the second time, then I just stopped and, like, put my hands in over my face and just cried. Because I'm like, it's just shocking. And it's, like, weird, too, because then being a paranormal investigator, after the fact, I get this weird guilt where I'm like, I should have been more brave. I should have been.
Second guessing.
And I was like, damn, like, who do I think I am? Like, I want to do this. And then it comes to me and I'm like, no, but I whatever, you know, I try my best. Like, and
hey, that's on the ghost, dude. That's just on the ghost. Like, look, lady, if you want to talk, like, maybe if don't you crawl up from under my fucking bed.
Exactly. Like, don't come to me looking like you're coming out of the TV on the Ring. Like, it was so scary. Yeah. So, but I forgive them. I think they're still here, I feel like, but I don't know. I don't know. I was like, I won't get rid of you. I promise. I felt like so bad afterwards. I'm like, I didn't bring those herbs into my house to like cleanse all the spirits out of my house. I would be so bored if I did that, and so lonely, but I'm not doing that.
Another one of the videos that kind of made me, like, just made me wonder, and again, it's like you brought up something that I hadn't really thought of. You went to like the thrift store, and there were these two pictures, like sister pictures, and you're like, I don't know if you predicted someone would buy one or something, but someone got one, and you're like, that's a recipe for fucking disaster, probably, because You just separated the two pictures. To me, it was like, I don't know. Like, that would be really a cool thing to do, you know? Like, if you ever run into that again, I'll volunteer. I'll take one of the sister pictures. You mail it out to me, and then we'll see what
Absolutely. If I had access to, like, the two pictures, I think that would be a really cool, like, experiment in a controlled environment where the two will come back together eventually.
Yeah, we could put them back together. So it's like, if all hell breaks loose, we'll just be like, fuck, dude, I'm mailing this back out to you. We gotta get these things back together fast.
Yeah, exactly. I wish that could be the case with these, but you'll see, I think you can kind of see behind me, that's the picture. What, I can't point. It's right there.
Oh, okay. You got the remaining
one. Yeah, I got the remaining one. So what happened was, so I posted like a super short video online of the two photos that I happen to have gotten a video of. And then the next day I went back and one was gone. And what was...
Hold on. You're breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you have to adjust your mic or something or...
It is literally like thunderstorming outside, and then the sun's just coming through right here, and it's like really windy over here, so I don't know. I live in a really old mansion that has kind of terrible service, so I'm so sorry.
All right. No, it's starting to clear up now, so yeah.
Okay,
it's,
cool. Yeah. Maybe it was
It's all this talk of ghosts. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
who knows? That's weird. I haven't told this story on a podcast yet, so I mean, it's very possible it could be paranormal, but... what I was going to say is I just happened to get the first video of the two portraits together because I was taking a video of my time in the antique store. I was going to make like a compilation, like a little reel that was like trying to see like if something taunted in the... Like I was just like filming and I was drawn to these portraits, but I genuinely just like filmed them like on a whim. And then... I went back the next day to that antique store to actually go with my boyfriend because I had seen a small little McDonald's toy that I thought he would want. So we went back to go get this stupid nugget. It's like a chicken nugget car. And then when I went to go find the chicken nugget car, which was by the portraits, I noticed that one portrait was gone and I stopped dead in my tracks. And I was like, you're kidding me. Did somebody really buy one of these portraits?
Yeah.
They were just here yesterday. In the middle of the day. So then I went to the store employee who was the same lady from the previous day. And I was like, did somebody buy that portrait? And she said, yes. Like we tried to convince them not to take just one and to take both. Right. And we told them that that's such a bad idea and they didn't listen to us and they wanted to buy one and not the other.
What?
I know. And I was just like, and then online, the video got a whole slew of interesting comments. A lot of people thought I lied or made up the story or whatever.
Why would you? God.
I don't know. I think it was just a case of like it wasn't that crazy, but it was just kind of crazy. And it was like sort of weird. I was like, that's insane. And even one of the store employees, when I was talking to them the second day, they were like, oh my God, you got a picture of the both of them. I'm like, yeah, I got a video of it. I just happened to be drawn to it. So yeah. And then I went back a full week later. I gave it a week for the original buyer to go back and buy the second one because I thought maybe they would change their mind. I went back. They hadn't bought it, so I bought it, and I took it home. And I don't know if it's haunted. I haven't, like – I mean, the whole thing initially was never that it was, like, inherently haunted, but I was like, I feel like that's a recipe for a haunting to separate these two portraits of what were clearly twins, too. And at first I was like, okay, sisters, some people thought maybe it was the same girl, just different years apart. And I'm like, absolutely not. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
It's like same outfit and everything. And then somebody commented on the first video and said they have twins and that they know that like these certain features, like a dimpled chin and like a certain kind of ear is like common in fraternal twins or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just seemed... And then the store employee too was like, oh, they were definitely twins. And so to separate those two photos, I was like, ugh.
It's very odd. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I feel like they should have been sold together, honestly, but I don't want to shit on the seller. I don't know who the seller is, you know, like, cause they're booths. So it could be anybody. And, but I mean, they should have sold them together. Like, with no exception, but they sold them for $40 each. So I could see how if you wanted one frame, you would like
buy
one. So
some people, I'm sure whoever bought it just didn't even cross their mind. They were just like, this is a nice frame, I'm gonna get it. I'm like, do I need two of them? Nah, I'm good. I just need the one.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And never even thought about the people in the picture because they're like, I'm throwing the picture out. I'm putting picture in there.
Yeah, I thought about that. And I'm like, if they threw it away, why not just like take the photo out and leave it with the seller booth, like with the other photo? I don't know. It just seems weird. But then I also got a bunch of comments that were like, why do you care about pictures of strangers? And I was like, fair question, but I don't know. It just seems like the right.
I see nothing wrong with that. It's like, because they're fucking people. Because they're people, dude. Like, because they're human fucking beings. Like, why would you? How about caring about people? Like, let's try that.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I can't imagine if like me and my two sisters like had these photos taken and somebody took one and then took the other and then took the other. We were separated for like eternity. I don't know. It just seemed wrong. But yeah, that was a wild ride. Definitely a reminder of like the downfalls of short form video and social media and like not being able to give people 100% context before you post something. And then it pulls up people's heartstrings too. So it creates this like kind of snowball of interaction in the comment thread. And that one was one that really got to me just because of the people being like, you're lying. And I'm like, you know, I don't care if you say that they're not, it's not haunted, or I don't care if you don't believe in ghosts. You can tell me I'm a nut for all I care. But when people start, you know, telling me that I'm lying or like attacking my character, and as a paranormal person, somebody into the paranormal, I need to be trustworthy. That's like what I've built my entire online presence on, is like the fact that I'm authentic and trustworthy. So I'm like, don't tell me I'm a liar. I would never do that, especially with something I would never. But anyway, that was a wild ride. That I haven't posted anything on Instagram since I bought the portrait. And and I don't know why I was like, I'm just going to let it sit and like marinate for a little bit. I needed a little break after those ones. Cause I was like, and I wanted to kind of see, my apartment had gotten really full of a lot of stuff and a lot of energy. And I needed to kind of like weed through it and focus on the Oregon Ghost Conference and stuff. And so now I'm just like a day into getting back at it and probably investigating that portrait soon if I can.
Yeah, because what you do in some of the videos is you take the different items that you think might have attachments or energy, let's say, and you put them up with the ghost equipment and try to see what develops, essentially.
Yeah. And that's like a newer, it's not a new thing that I've been doing. I've always had like little haunted trinkets and different things in my office here. And sometimes I try to investigate them or whatever, but end of last year, like November of last year, I just started being like, let's see what happens. And I also have an obelisk now, which an obelisk has this word bank in it, and it like makes interacting, very interesting, I think, because it's giving you like fully formed word, to go off of. So I started experimenting with that device and the different things in my office to try to start kind of researching what energy is coming from what, and like had some very surprising revelations about like some different things, like a gift my mom gave me, like a necklace my mom gave me, and then a book I had thrifted a long time ago, and all of this different stuff. It's been really interesting, and I think it's a good way to stay actively investigating the paranormal while not having to shell out an absurd amount of money to go to a location or anything,
right? You know? Well, to me, I think I find it really interesting and really unique and a lot more refreshing than fucking like the 80th time you see someone like going into a house, because it's like, this is super, it's like DIY ghost hunting in a way. It's really cool stuff. I really enjoy when you do that. You did one, you said you had like a little book that was like called Ghosts, and it was like a century old or some shit. And like you, and so this machine, this obelisk, is that what it's called? It just is like a, thing that has a bunch of words?
Yeah, it's called Ovilus. So it's O-V-I-L-U-S, Ovilus. Oh. And the Ovilus first came out years ago. The most popular model was the Ovilus 3, which you'll see in like early ghost hunting shows. And then production of the Ovilus 5 stopped for a long time. This piece of equipment was like impossible to come by. The older models sold for a bunch of money on eBay if they were even there. And so it was hard to come by. And then the maker of it started reproducing them with Ghost Stop again just last year. And so I snagged one of the first drop because this was like my all-time like bucket list piece of equipment. And these days I'm not so much into the equipment as I used to be.
Right.
I don't rely so much on it, but this piece of equipment, it has a lot of different functions in it. So it has a word bank with like 1,000 words in it or whatever. And it just kind of says the word. So it's very clear, unlike a spirit box where, you know, it requires a level of like meditation and like going into it, to hear the words. The Ovilus just says a word from the word bank. And then it has a bunch of other features on there too, which are cool, but, it's not always accurate. I mean, a lot of people are like, it just goes off like whenever, because it's reading environmental fluctuations and it going off is not the weird thing. It's what it's saying and how you can relate it.
Yeah.
And it's like, how relevant is it to like what you're asking or what the situation is? So, like if you ask for a name and it says a name, that's interesting. Cause it's not smart enough. It's not like our phones, it's not hearing us, but it's just, it's just reacting to like fluctuations of like, if I drop it, it'll go off. Or if I blow into it, into the top, it'll go off. So it's like reading that kind of fluctuation, but
yeah. That's cool. I should check that out. I don't really do ghost hunts, but like as we've been seeing with what you're talking about, it's like you could just do stuff at home with it. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
The Haunted Necklace. As I said, I was deeply invested in the saga of the Haunted Necklace. Again, it's like you just come up with these ideas. I'm like, oh no, man, what are you doing? Like. You're like, you can get into the story, but it's like you hear about a haunted necklace. We'll get into like the haunted, the curse, all that. You buy it, and you start. You're like, I'm gonna wear it for a week and see what happens. It's like, oh my god, dude, this is some next level stuff. So take people through this story a little bit.
Yeah. So this antique store, which is the same antique store that I was just talking about with the portrait. Yeah. I've been going to this store for a while. And so they had my phone number to be able to text me if they I'm going on a different tangent about a different thing right now. There are so many haunted necklaces and things that I own. I'm getting them confused.
Okay. I didn't know that part. I like that you're like, they have a hotline essentially.
Yeah. That happened after this necklace that you're talking about. So I'm like jumping forward two steps. So scratch that, reverse it. So this haunted locket, this antique store, I am familiar with it. My coworker happened to go to this antique store one day. I work in social media, like a marketing agency, and she had to go take some content. And she was going to this neighborhood, and I said, hey, stop by my favorite antique store. I love it. They have weird stuff. They're super cool. I've never found a haunted object at this antique store ever in my life. But I happened to tell her, you know, hey, go check it out. When she's there, my coworker finds a locket, or it's not really a locket. It's,
a brooch or something, right? Not a brooch.
Like, it's like, what do you call it? A pendant. It's a pendant. Yeah. It's a pendant, and it has like, it was advertised as a mourning brooch, but it's actually incorrect. I don't think it was a mourning brooch. I don't know that there's hair in it. It kind of looks like milkweed or maybe animal hair, but it had a paranormal disclosure on it. It said, mourning, this object is known to be haunted by the original owner. Blah, blah, blah. Apparently this, and so my coworker sent it to me knowing what I do. She's like, oh my God, there's a haunted object here. You should come check it out. And so I go check it out. And apparently the booth owner, it was like her friend who had owned it and it was haunted and the friend wanted to get rid of it. And so the seller said, okay, I'll sell it for you in my booth. Because they didn't even want it in their house anymore. And so It was expensive, I will admit, because it was advertised as a morning brooch. And morning brooches, for listeners, if you don't know, typically have human hair. They're to mourn the death of somebody.
Yeah, it's not like, before you first said that, I had to do some quick math in my head where I'm like, does she mean mourning in the morning, or does she mean like mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G? Yeah. And when you mentioned hair and shit, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, mourning, like, grieving or whatever. But okay. And I'm not into that. I'm honest to God, like, not into collecting, like, Victorian era jewelry, especially, but, or mourning stuff.
Yeah, stuff like
that. That's, like, not really my thing. Like, I, honestly, my aesthetic and, like, the stuff I like to collect is more trinkety and, like, kind of just random, weird, creepy shit. Like, I just like collecting things people don't want is kind of my angle. And, and so this, I was like, God damn it, I want it. Like, I want to test it out. I want to see if it's actually as haunted as these people are saying. And I can't imagine anyone else in this town having it but me. So I was like, give it to me. I want it. So I bought it and I wore it for a week to try to see what would happen. And the stuff with that necklace was weird because it didn't manifest in like a traditional way. Like it wasn't like footsteps in my house and, you know, there's a ghost wandering around now. But while I was wearing it, if anyone's seen Harry Potter, it was very much like a Horcrux. Like I didn't want to take it off.
You mentioned that. That's the one thing I put in my notes about this. You said you had a persistent feeling that you should never take it off, which is like, that's fucking creepy.
Yeah, like, it like felt,
it
felt like the way it landed on my neck too. And it was only the pendant. It did not come with the chain. I used a brand new silver chain that I had never opened before. And the way it felt like while I was wearing it was like very comfortable. And I never noticed it was on me and I never wanted to take it off. I was only taking it off right before I fell asleep. And then I'd put it on my bedstand and then I'd put it on right when I came, when I woke up. And it wasn't until like day five that I started realizing that that was kind of weird because I'm not a jewelry wearer. And I was like, why do I keep like, it was almost like a superstition had injected itself in my brain.
Yeah.
I have to wear it every day. Like I cannot, I can't skip a day. It's just weird. And I was feeling very, best way to describe it would be like having really bad sleep all week and like being super out of it and loopy and brain foggy. Zoning out. I was trying to film videos of it and I would just kind of like black out for a second and zone out. And I was just like feeling off all week, kind of bad luck vibes. Like it was just yucky. And so I was like, I'm done. And I still don't know exactly what the origin of that is, which is a bummer because had I had it my way and had all the time in the world, I would have stopped and like taking it off and then investigated it with my equipment and made some notes and meditated with it. But I had to go to Pennsylvania and film a documentary like very soon after I took off this necklace. And suddenly I was extremely scared that I was going to get in like a plane crash or something. Like I was like, why did I do this right before a trip? I'm like, I cannot get on a plane all the way across the country right after wearing a cursed necklace. What was I thinking? And I I started like truly panicking.
No,
and,
I could see myself in that same.
I just started spiraling mentally and I was like, okay. And then I'm like, is this part of it? Cause I've never been quite like that bad.
Right.
And so then I like contained it and I did a little, I put it on a little thing and like surrounded it. And I was like, whatever, you're contained. And then that didn't work. Felt like I won't get into it, but the time filming this documentary was truly a fucking strange time. It was so weird and not, some of it was very unsavory and just like, ugh. And so then I come back and I'm like, God damn it. I think this pendant is still doing something. And then that's how I go and get the herbs from my friend, which lead to yada, 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 and so on and so forth. And I'm like, so, and that was, that would have happened all at the end of January. And then I like, oh, and I, my friend sent me some holy water. I just was like all over the place. Like, this thing has like five different religions imparted onto it. Like, like, I don't know what's happening anymore, but I'm pretty sure I've all but cleansed the shit out of it. Like it, it's just a pendant now, but actually, but I don't know for sure because I haven't worn it yet because it's still sitting over on my table. Just
Might just want to leave well enough alone. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went and got another piece of jewelry that is not advertised as haunted, but was actually a piece of mourning jewelry that they texted me about. And they were like, "We think you would like this, girl who
Call
bought
the
the really,
hotline. Yeah.
yeah." They're like, "Girl who bought the really expensive haunted brooch, you weirdo, come and get this other thing." I'm like, okay. I'm like, maybe I won't buy it, and then I did buy it. But I stand by, I don't have unlimited funds by any means, but I love to put what money I can back into what I share online,
Yeah.
and also to I consider it research and money well spent, because I think it's important to like examine these things. Like, instead of just being like, oh, somebody said that that's haunted and I'm never going to touch it and I'm scared of it now, and like
Right,
now
yeah.
and yeah and now I'm going to impart my own judgments and bias on it as well, and then now we have no idea what's going on with it. It could be like the most cursed thing on the planet. And like, I'm like, stop. Let's actually explore what's going on with this thing. Let's push it to the limit and see like what, I mean, let's see what like spirit energy or human energy is truly capable of. Like, can it really
Yeah.
haunt an object to the degree that these people are claiming? That's not to say I'm skeptical of or like don't believe these people that they're having these
Right, but
experiences.
you want to know how it manifests, right? That's kind of the idea. It's like, okay, you say this is haunted. Well, let's see, what does that mean? Like, so
And
and you
like,
try it. It's crazy.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and it's like, and do and does that do those manifestations really follow the object, or was it more about you, the person, in the first
Right.
place? I don't know. Like, did it stay with you? I just want to know more about that. And I love
Exactly.
the concept of haunted objects for that reason. Although, again, I would not consider haunted objects like my one and only thing. I definitely am more about like, I would do that with like any scenario. I would be looking at it from this lens and trying to approach it like this. But haunted objects right now are just something I'm doing because I filled my
That's
office with them.
interesting. That's
Yeah, and it's super
interesting.
interesting, and it's fun,
Yeah.
and it was winter, and it's been winter time too, so it's like
Right.
that's perfect. I'm inside, I'm not
Yeah,
out in
no,
the forest.
it's, yeah. I'm a fan, so so now have you're very perceptive about sort of like if I needed someone, if I was like I need to get an idea what the hell sort of the zeitgeist of the ghost hunting community is, like I would turn to you because you seem to have your finger on the pulse of that. Your tremendous perception on that. What I was interested in, this kind of popped into my head earlier tonight as I put together the notes. We talked about the equipment and everything. Has anyone, are they doing anything? And I'm not a huge AI guy. I don't use it. I don't really know anything about it. I feel like I have to hurry up and figure it out because like it's everywhere now. But has anyone sort of tried to apply this into the ghost hunting realm?
With AI?
Yeah.
So there is actually an app out right now, and apps are very controversial, and I'm not even a huge proponent of ghost hunting apps, if I'm being
Yeah.
honest. But there's this GhostTube. A lot of people will be familiar with GhostTube, but GhostTube came out with an app called GhostTube Seer, and Seer does use AI generated imagery. It basically,
Yeah.
you scan, you like put your camera on through the app and you scan an area, and then it starts to manifest an AI generated image based on
Interesting.
what it's looking at. And the idea is that it could pick up like
Right.
spirits or whatever. Like, I did
Yeah.
that. I used that app at the Spokane premiere of my documentary, and it had like a weird it had some weird stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it still has some work. Like, I wouldn't
Right,
trust it as like being doing exactly what it promises to do, but
Yeah,
yeah.
I it's a yeah, I'm just kind of yeah, I don't like I said, I don't even know how you would apply AI to the ghost hunting, but it seems like there must be some, way.
I think, yeah, and I know, I feel like I'm trying to rack my brain right now, but I feel like I saw somebody talking about AI generated images used in ghost hunting on Twitter, X or whatever now. But yeah, that's the only area that I've seen it in, is that GhostTube Seer app. And I think it's really fascinating, and I can see it. I can see AI being utilized in some capacity in the future, and
What
I think that
about
people.
I can't so I mean to interrupt you, but I'm gonna
No,
lose
that's
this
okay.
thought. So if I forget this,
That's
then I'll
okay.
be bad.
Go.
So what if you took This is like an experiment now. Take the ovalis or whatever, so it generates a bunch of words. Then maybe you take those words and you plug them into the chat GPT or whatever, and you'd be like, what is the significance of this cluster of words? And you put it, and then maybe just see what it says then. I don't know. That might be a way
to use it. That would be cool. And I do want to use, like, so I use ChatGPT at work in my job. We use it for proofing and for, like, spell grammar and stuff like that. But I've experimented a little bit with, like, its capacities, just being, like, who's the best paranormal investigator named Brittany Evans Spooky? I don't know. Like, I've just, like, kind of tried to see how much it knows, because I don't really understand the I don't understand the technology of it. And, like, it kind of feels a bit like a search function right now, at least ChatGPT in particular. Like, it talks to you, and that's the, like, I don't know, the AI of it all. But, like, it, like, is searching through the internet and just kind of coming up with things that it can find based on your question. But it might be interesting to put in, like, a string of words. Like you said, that would be really, actually, I'm probably going to do this. I'm going to say, like,
yes,
this
do.
Actually does
I
sound interesting.
I want to know what it says. Yeah.
Because maybe that could help us in the search for, like, the context of what it's saying. Because maybe the author says, river, British Isles, something, something, I don't know, whatever. I don't know what that means, but if
the
I put
AI
it in the chat,
might be able to make those connections. Yeah.
Yeah, so that actually might end up helping more on the research end of things, like, not so much from, like, a psychic kind of woo-woo perspective, but, like, it would cut out a lot of that research in a way. I am going to experiment with that. That is a great idea. Thank you for that.
Well, I just came up with it while we were talking, so, because I was like, well, how the hell could you? And then I'm like, well, what if she has those words? So I was thinking, like, the, I forget his name now, but he has, like, the cipher, you know, the cipher, shit.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Oh my God. Now that's going to bug me. The the cipher of the Euphonaut cipher?
Yeah, yeah. Secret cipher of the
Secret cipher of the Euphonauts. What the hell is his name, though? His name is escaping me right now.
Let me look it up. I'm going to have to go. Oh, fuck it. Of Euphonauts. Let's see. Alan Greenfield. Alan Greenfield.
Oh, God damn it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. That's weird. Because, anyway, that's kind of what I was thinking. That's kind of what I'm like, oh, it's like Secret Cipher of the Euphonauts. Maybe if you plug this into into the AI, maybe that would somehow, I'd be interested. I'll be keeping an eye on it. I hope you do that. Because I don't even know how to use, like, I hear about this ChatGPT. I don't even know how to get on it. So that's how out of touch I am.
You can do it. I encourage you to try. It is interesting. You just go to ChatGPT. It's like, you'd have to Google it to go to the right site, because the website itself is like chatgpt.ai.something. I don't know, but it's cool and it's free. There's a free version of it, and it just opens up a chat box, and you can just say, "Hey there, I'm always nice to the AI. FYI, I feel like we need to be nice to them, to the AI, so that in case they ever, you know, come back,
so they remember you."
Yeah, exactly.
So like, oh, you were always nice, so you're cool.
Yeah, instead of demanding information from them. But yeah, I use that. Some people hate it, but I do use it to proof stuff at work, and it's really
It's very polarizing, but
yeah.
It comes up every now and again on the show, and it's just like, we're gonna look so quaint, like, just in 5 years, like the shit we're talking about now, where we're gonna be like, you know, like, if you were listening to the radio, like, they show those old clips, like the Today Show, where they're like, email? Yeah. How does that work? It's like, So speaking of your perception of the paranormal community, you're sort of like, you got your finger on the pulse of the scene, if you will. I really liked your paranormal predictions for the new year. I just thought they were very interesting. Are they sort of just your gut sense of you know, what people might trends? It was really kind of trend, like, what trends might unfold. It was interesting.
Yeah. That was, like, a really fun video, videos to make, and they didn't, like, perform, like, exceptionally well, but the feedback on them from people that are more into the field are, like, is really fascinating, because I've already seen a couple things kind of start coming up, which is interesting. But those were like genuinely, I was kind of coming at it from like a strategist point of view of like how I'm observing the field and the directions I'm seeing people's thought processes going. So it wasn't like psychic. It was more like I like literally think that this is like the direction people are headed.
Yeah.
Particularly about like, I think I said like hypnosis and also timeline discussion.
Yes, I have them here, so I can refresh you as we get into it. But yeah, that was the one that really intrigued me a lot, was the alternative. What do you mean by alternative timelines?
There's been whispers of it, and it's something I've thought about myself too, but the idea that that we're not always speaking to the spirit of deceased people, but instead to other people on another timeline could potentially be ghost hunting us and like thinking they're talking to a ghost. I don't know. There's a lot of different directions you can go with that. But I think what I'm mostly getting at with that one is that I think people, again, are going to want to start looking further and deeper into this paranormal phenomena that we're experiencing. And I think it falls flat when you end just that we're talking to a dead person. We're talking to somebody who passed away. Because some of the things that, especially with the popularity of the Estes method and with things like the spirit box and the obelisk, it's like the things that we're coming in contact with often feel like so much more intelligent than just somebody who would have passed away 100 years ago.
It
doesn't really make sense. And I just think that people are going to start digging into those concepts more. Same with hypnosis, like trying to play around with your own state of like your own mental state or whatever. I think that's where it's going to go. And I've already heard some people mention it on Twitter now, not because of my video, but just naturally seeing it come up. And I'm like, it just makes sense. I just think people need more lately in the especially after paranormal social media has blown up and inflated to the degree that it has today. It's going to deflate soon. And then people are going to be like, what next, you know? And that's kind of like where I was coming up with that prediction list too. It's like kind of thinking of like, we never really thought to think what's next in the paranormal.
Yeah. What do you mean that it's blown up? Cause like, I kind of just kind of hang in my little tiny little bubble and niche. So is it, you mean like the TikTok realm and that kind of thing?
Yeah. TikTok and YouTube and kind of this like newfound, like the paranormal social media celebrity and like the level of which people are performing. I use the word performing, but you know, like going on investigations for content. And especially since TikTok and YouTube have monetized things, there is kind of now, and it's always been around. I understand that, you know, paranormal TV, they were making money and attaining celebrity that way at one point. And now it's just channeled into social media, but there is so much more money happening and so much more like control over the content that these influencers or content creators are making, that it's like in the paranormal realm, it's become just kind of outrageous. They're always trying to one up themselves. They're always trying to go crazier and crazier. And it's like, this is the most demonic thing we've ever found. It's like, at what point do you cap out on the way that you're performing this for the public? I just keep thinking, like, there has to be a moment where they're like, we can't go any further with the same narrative that we've been perpetuating with, like, the demonic angle. Like, we have to think differently eventually. So I meant a lot of things, I guess, when I said that about the inflation of, like, because I'm in there, too. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm, like, above or beyond, like, social media content creators. Yeah. That's, like, literally what I do. But I just think specifically with, like, really sensationalized paranormal YouTube content and TikTok content, I just think that it can't always be, this is the craziest demon we've ever seen. Eventually, you're going to have to start thinking outside of that box and looking for the next thing that people will be interested in. And I think it's going to look like it's going to get a little weirder. You know, like I think we've outdone the demon thing a bit. And I think I wonder, too, if more paranormal people, you're going to start seeing them go more into like the UFO realm a little bit. And like I wonder.
So what you're saying essentially, cause like, I don't watch these, this content, I guess. But what you're saying is sort of like, I can see how this has happened. So it's like the people back in the day, because I'm like an old head now on this, it was like the old thing was like, I'm going to get a TV show, right? Everybody fucking wanted to get a TV show. And now it's like, you don't need to get the TV show. Like, you can just be the TV show yourself on TikTok and YouTube. And it's kind of like, it's getting a little crazy, is what you're saying, which makes sense because it's like, there's no filter of it's yeah. like, it's like your own, it's like the person's own idea of like what they're going to do. And as you said, it's commodified. So it's incentivized to get crazy, like, you know, to mm-hmm. draw more people in. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not even necessarily saying I have an opinion on that. Like from a business standpoint, I'm
right.
lip sealed. I don't care what you're doing, but like,
yeah.
but like from the perspective of somebody who believes in paranormal phenomena, that it is possible. I think that the way that they're conflating these experiences with ghosts or with demons or whatever, it's like, it has to cap out somewhere. Like,
yeah.
or else you're what, levitating into the air? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Right,
what is
right.
next? You're getting possessed. Like it truly, we've reached like the most crazy.
I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah. It's almost like the UFO thing where it's like, they're getting closer and closer. And it's like, look, you either got to bust out the alien soon or fucking I'm out of here. It's kind of, you know,
exactly. So, yeah. So I just think people will start thinking a little differently about it soon and being more open to making content about those different thought processes, like alternate timelines or you know, what we can do in hypnosis or whatever. And like, yeah, I think that's coming. I think it's already here a little bit, but I think it's going to come in the next like 5 years.
Now you say rise in femininity, move away from tactical gear. So is this tactical gear? So is the ghost hunting still kind of bro-centric? As I remember it,
yeah, like paranormal TV still is
very bro-centric.
I mean, Ghost Adventures is still ruling the landscape, I'd say, although people are a little more willing to like criticize them now than they used to be. But but even in YouTube and on YouTube and stuff like that, you kind of see this like overly aggressive approach.
Yeah, I can kind of see. Yeah.
And the femininity aspect of it, I just think like I'm seeing a lot more women be comfortable wearing whatever the hell they want versus feeling like you have to put on the cargo pants and and tie your belt tight and put on your backpack and stuff. Like, I think it's more about like just having an experience, and you don't need to be like boots on the ground crawling
through
a cave or something. But
yeah, it's like you don't literally have to have boots on the ground. It's kind of
idea. Yeah, like I'm really just like, I'm like, dude, if we're gonna say that all of this stuff is real, which I believe it is, then why are we giving so many rules to it? Why does it have to be in an abandoned hospital at 3 a.m. and that's the only time you're going, you know?
Like, exactly. Yeah. I talked about that with John Tenney once. It's like, you can hunt ghosts in the daytime, right? Like that's allowed.
I don't think they have any rules. I mean, and if they do, we don't know them because we're not dead. So and anyone who says they know the rules of dead people are lying probably, but.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, no, I totally see where you're coming from. It's the whole like hunting, it's already kind of baked in, like in a way. It's like the ghost hunting it's aggressive. There's an aggressiveness to it that's like, no, man, you should just be like paranormal investigation. Obviously, that's cool. It's like, but the hunting part is kind of like, oh, maybe we're already going into this with the wrong,
or like. Exactly. Or maybe there are instances where that mental space is necessary, but I don't think that there should be like, it's not just across the board, like this. Like, be a human, just like you're suspecting these ghosts were once human. Like,
right, right, yeah.
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 Use some discernment on like the situation at hand. You don't need to go in with tactical gear to some poor person's like residence in town that's scared shitless because their grandma's haunting them. You know what I mean? Like, it's
just,
whatever.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, yeah. And Hans Holzer, you give him a shout out in the predictions. You think that he's sort of the next big thing.
I haven't not been right on that one yet. But I don't know. I just kind of, I was like, okay, the Warrens, I've seen all but everyone move away from the Warrens. I'd say right. There's a very small amount of people that are really concentrated in New England who still feel very strongly about the Warrens. As far as pop culture goes, I'm like, okay, who is somebody that has...
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. Because they're going to run out of, like, Warren books.
Yeah, so yeah.
They have to expand the universe.
Exactly. So I'm like, Holzer has a huge body of work behind him and already has that TV show, Holzer Files, like, that already existed. And, like, I don't know. I think if, like, TikTok was to catch on to some Holzer file type of stuff, then, like, people would start garnering some interest there. But I thought recently, I was like, you know what, I don't know about that. I don't think people really give a shit about Holzer anymore. And, like,
and
I think now it's like, and now maybe it's going to be more modern people that people are looking at, like God, John Tenney or whoever. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I can't help but wonder.
Well, I was talking to Alex Matsuo last night. We were both marveling over Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Like, people should, you know, dig into Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's, you'd never run out of stuff to read.
Yeah, I would love to see more people explore the different women in that have been in the field or have been doing work or, like, there's tons of people that are better, I think, than Holzer, but I just think it, like, makes sense. It's just in terms of pop culture, again.
Right, no, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I can see. Yeah. Like I said, like if they're going to expand the universe of the Conjuring, I think they actually call it the Conjuring universe now. Or like, see them being like, okay, is there any case where they cross paths so we can spin him off into a separate vehicle? So, absolutely. And traditional equipment. Do people still do the table tapping anymore? Like, I'd like to see that make a comeback. You know, like the spiritualism, all that. Weird.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I was just trying to think. I think, I want to say Greg and Dana Newkirk just bought one. I think they posted about it recently. It makes sense with them. But like, I've never seen anything. I've never seen table tipping.
I'd like to see it in action. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, I've never seen it in real life, like, genuinely happening. I would love to, but... I like, and that's another thing too, is like some of these, I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I need to go forward with confidence in these predictions, but I thought maybe people get burnt out on the equipment. Well, I will say to my point, Ghost Stop, the equipment company did come out with a candle recently that is like an EMF detector and it goes on and off with energy, but it looks like a candle. And so I was like, I'm kind of onto something in that, like, people want that sort of authentic, like, more old school feel. But like, I can kind of see people, like, moving back to, like, dowsing rods, pendulums, Ouija boards. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised people have been, like, kind of quiet on that front a lot lately. It's just been so hyper focused on the spirit box recently in different spaces, but I don't know. And then I also say that I think that they should make a blanket of
I was trying to figure out what you meant by that. Like, what is this blanket?
Let me explain it to you. It's in my head. I just feel like if I'm having this idea, somebody else already smarter than me has had this idea and knows how to make it. But, like, I can see, like, being able to blanket an entire bottom floor of a house in motion detecting lights so that they can,
so it's
instead
like a layer,
of,
like a yes, layer in, of motion detection.
Yeah. Because, like, right now in a house, you would use a couple pieces of equipment that could hypothetically detect footsteps in one area, or you would use a tripwire, which, like, can kind of, it's like a wire and, you know, you can see things moving down it. But how do we look at an entire space and detect movement in the space on, like, a wider scale? And I think that you could make, like, a big blanket type of situation with the tripwire technology. I could see that happening. I bet it would be really expensive, but almost like, it's kind of giving it's making me think of, like, old tech movies where it's like they have all the wires everywhere and you have to, like, avoid crossing the wires or whatever. Like, I feel like, why are we using that technology? Like, sometimes I think that we just haven't gone that far with equipment yet because a part of us is afraid or knows that it might not work. And like, yeah, you might still hear a footstep or feel a footstep and not catch it on this thing that supposedly made it impossible for you not to.
Right.
And I think we should, like, that's why I'm just kind of moving away from like that proving that ghosts exist thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Cause like, you know, like I trust people's like honest, genuine people. I trust their experiences. And if you thought somebody was walking around the house, but the equipment didn't catch it, then maybe the equipment can't catch it. I don't know.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I'm not here to make the rules. So if we can just think outside of the box more often, I think we'd have better experiences. But
well, I think that's part of it. I think that kind of like what I was saying about the hunting part. It's like if you just go for the experience, then maybe you'll, you know, have better luck or something, you know?
Yeah. But
to find what you're looking for, if you're not looking for proof either, if you're like, look, I heard this place is haunted, kind of like what you did with the necklace, where it's like, okay, I heard this place is haunted, I'm going to go there and just see how it might manifest, because they say it's haunted, you know? And it's like, I'm not going to go looking for anything. I'm just going to hang out there and see if it'll manifest for me, you know?
Yeah, and I've had some of the most incredible experiences in those moments where I'm just existing in that space.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
There's something to that. But then again, it circles back around to content and the
right, exactly,
of it all. And that the fact that that doesn't make good content. And so that's been a challenge for me, but a fun one, in that I still very much exist in this, you know, content creator space where I'm kind of expected to have this like entertainment value to what I'm presenting.
Right.
Online.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm doing all of this kind of more petty sort of like, but it's what you feel, and it's like
esoteric.
Yeah, it's like, it's how I feel about it, and it's like, how do I represent that on camera? And that challenge is very fun and fulfilling for me, and always a challenge every day. So
nice.
I appreciate it.
Let's talk about the Clown Hotel. You were on a talk about bucket list things. I Clown Hotel is definitely a place I've wanted to see for a very long time. So it was very jealous. So what's it like at the Clown Hotel?
I didn't stay overnight, so okay. I should say that. I did get to stay at the Mitzpah Hotel, which is in Tonopah and is very haunted. But the Clown Hotel was weird, man. It was super weird. The gift shop where all the infamous clown artifacts are was a lot smaller than I expected it to be, but just as creepy.
Yeah.
They apparently have new owners, I hear. I wouldn't have known because I'd never been. And then the shining star of the Clown Motel is absolutely the cemetery that is right next to it. And I spent hours in that cemetery, but actually right outside of the Clown Motel, I posted about this, but somebody yelled at me.
And, yes! So it was at the beginning of the video. I watched it tonight. Yeah. It's like, you're just kind of, just as you start the video, someone yells, "No one cares!" And then at the bottom of you, but like, actually, I care. And it was just that was a great moment. I actually rewound that a couple times. I'm like, wait a minute, was someone yelling at her from driving by? It was crazy.
Yeah, you can see the truck for a split second in that clip. You can see the truck that's yelling at me. And I will tell you, it took me like a good amount of time to not be upset about it. I mean, I genuinely was like super upset about it. I was so embarrassed.
And I did rattled, that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, well, I was alone too, and that whole trip, I went on a 5-day road trip through Nevada all by myself, and and it's nerve-wracking to film yourself in front of people. I mean, it's hard to stick a tripod up and like film yourself in front of people. It feels silly, but I was there to do a job, and I just thought that was so funny. No one cares, because I'm sure they see people at the Clown Motel all the time taking photos and stuff.
Yeah,
and I was like, whatever, like I care. It was a bucket list place for me too. Like, I was so stoked on it, and it makes for great pictures. It's super cool. But the cemetery next door to it was really, really cool and odd, and I think haunted.
Yeah, I think you mentioned like the guy is somehow related to the Clown Motel. Like, the guy who's buried there is like the father of the old previous owner, I guess, or something crazy like that. Isn't it something like that?
It's something like that, but I honestly don't remember. I don't know like the deep like history on that area.
The
no, Well, and I didn't get to spend the night there, so I didn't really dig into it because I was more focused on the mitzvah. But there was like a YouTuber from overseas that was there at the same time I was, which was really interesting. And I'm sure he knows more about it than I do. But
yeah,
but yeah, there's some kind of story there. But the plots are really old and super cool. And I got that cemetery and another cemetery in Nevada briefly confused and thought they were the same. The one with the library paste eater, the man who died from eating library paste, is a super famous tombstone that is in a different cemetery that is like not too far away. But anyway, that trip to Nevada, that was with a company called Travel Nevada, is the division of tourism for the state of Nevada.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome. It was a dream, honestly. And I'm extremely grateful for it. And they sent me on this 5-day paranormal road trip because they have a paranormal passport that you can like check off bucket lists, like places cool. and stuff. And Nevada is, I was like shocked. I knew about Nevada and there was a bunch of places I wanted to go. But when you put into, when you put it in a list of the like haunted places and all of the UFO places, like, it's incredible. I'm like, Nevada's my new favorite state if it wasn't so hot and dry. But like, it's
you
so
should
cool.
You should get in touch with the state of Kentucky because they have a whole tourism campaign centered around the paranormal. You should be like, hey, see what I did for Nevada? I'll come down and do a road trip Kentucky style. So yeah,
check it
out. Yeah,
I am going to check that out. And Kentucky is cool. I've only ever been to Waverly Hills in Kentucky, but I immediately vibed with Kentucky. I love it over there in general, that whole area. But
yeah, I'm a big West Virginia fan. I don't know, something about it. Some of these obscure sort of, they seem obscure to us, I guess. But
yeah,
coastal. We're coastal folks.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Yeah, true. I'm a huge fan of North Carolina too. I think North Carolina is very weird. Yeah, I think that it's cool. I think there's a lot more to explore there, but also my home state of Montana is, there's been a lot of UFO sightings out there, a lot of weird stuff, a lot of ghosts. No Sasquatch, though, I don't think, in Montana.
Probably very rarely.
Yeah.
You know.
Just one of them. Or maybe he just visits, he vacations there sometimes.
Passing through, yeah.
Yeah.
Came down from Canada.
Yeah.
So let me see. We're getting you going to the movies soon. So we gotta. What movie are you going to see?
Late Night with the Devil.
It's not like a horror film, I take it then.
Yeah, you should look into it. It looks really good. It's like got a 70s. It's like in the 70s, and it looks like it.
It's
very cool. It's all over Twitter. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. If you're because that's your main platform. Do you call it X now? No, I just call it Twitter.
I really want to leave there because it's so bad. But it's like I was saying to someone on the show way at the beginning of the year, we were talking about it because like the paranormal park's kind of pretty well self-contained and they're doing all right. And the rest of the place is like on fire around us. And it's like you don't want to. It's like you're at a good party. It's like you're at a shitty party. Excuse me. You're a shitty party with a group of good friends and you're like, well, let's get the fuck out of here. But no one can agree where to go. So you're just like, fucking, let's just stay here. Like this party fucking sucks, but like you want to go get pizza and I want to go to another bar and she wants to go home and somebody else wants to do this. And it's like, let's just fuck it. We'll just stay here, you know?
Yeah.
For a little while longer till something, you know? Yeah.
Better
that seems to be the
then.
Vibe. Yeah.
That's very accurate. Yeah, Twitter is not my main platform, but I will say a little insider info for any listeners is that's where the real conversation is happening. I feel like in the paranormal spaces and like UFO space. I don't know UFO. I'm barely on the peripheral of like UFO discussions, but but like the paranormal. Like I go to Twitter and see like the paranormal people chatting it up.
Yeah, it's still largely like text based.
And like actually talking about things versus like on these other platforms, it's more performative for an audience. So you can't really get
comments.
Exactly.
That's partially why I don't like, part of me is like, I should be on this TikTok thing, but then it's like, but then you have comments from, it's like, I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
It's hard. So do you, Are you working on a book? That's sort of the always the question that comes up. No?
No, I've Good. Been told I
don't
should.
Have a book either. So yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's a matter of time and resource, and like I just feel I have this feeling right now that I can't get started on it yet. I don't know why, but I just feel like something's gonna happen soon where I'm gonna be busy or something. But maybe one day. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want more experience.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to have a little more to my book yet. You know, like I don't know what to write yet. So like we're giving it time.
I'm of the same mindset. Because we're not like, I think you're the same way in a sense where it's like some people just get something in their head, like, and then they're the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot guy, you know?
Yes.
Like, all right, that's your thing. You're Smoky Mountain Bigfoot, and you wrote the book on it. And it's like, all right, nothing's ever grabbed my passion like that, where I'm like, I've got to document this 1935 UFO case in the Grand Canyon. Like, this has to be a book.
Yeah, I know. Perhaps to my detriment, but I really struggle with like pinning myself down like that and being like, I'm the guy who talks about this. Like it's honestly incredible that I've gotten to the point I have with the odd emotions and the paranormal emotive touch point. Cause I've been like, this is something I want to focus on, but it's also something that was birthed out of my brain. And I feel very passionate about versus me being like, I want to be the Olympic Peninsula, Bigfoot.
Yes.
Girl. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be tied down in that way. I'm just like having a ball right now and like just doing weird shit and like trying to experience and like take in as much as I can. Like that is
That's why I'm a huge fan, because you're doing stuff. You're just doing stuff. Like that's the cool part. Yeah, it's like this necklace is haunted. All right, fine. Let's see how fucking haunted it is. It's like, oh Jesus, this is. This is crazy.
And then I'm like, eh. Like, I'm like, it's too haunted. Yeah.
Do you think that lady, the ghost, was related to the locket at all? Or because you said you got the herbs.
Yeah.
I wonder too.
You know, my best guess is maybe. Yeah. I do kind of think it's related to that necklace. But also, the necklace never felt like it was like an actual ghost like that either, though. It just felt like gunk, like energy. So I don't know. But like, also I'm like, what if it's like, I don't know. Like, what if my apartment was haunted all this time and I didn't even know? And this ghost is like, wait, I'm here. Like, I don't know.
Yes. Like, hey, hold on. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, don't get rid of me. What the hell? But
now I don't want to put you on the spot here. I want to ask you about this because you'd been on the list for Banal America for a while to come back. And I was like, well, the psychic channel drawings. I'm like, because we don't do the video yet. And so I'm like, if we ever get around to the video, I want to get Amanda Paulson on. I'll have her do this psychic channel drawing. I paid for it, obviously. So, but that, like, I'm not like, hey, can you cater my kid's t-ball game local pizzeria if you would be down for that sometime in the future, tell people what these are, because I'm doing another show sometime in the future called Banal Origins with Ancestry DNA. I don't know why I held that up. They're not paying me for that, but I'm like, oh, so if I that would be kind of interesting. We'll do a bunch of different weird kind of like dig into the psyche of Banal and the genealogy and shit. So it'd be funny. She's muted. I can hear you. Can you hear me through
that? That was so weird. My microphone and my headphones just did the weirdest shit I've ever heard them do. I've had these headphones forever. And it was like,
weird. Well, you've been, as the listeners will attest, you've crackled on a few occasions. There have been a few, like, one-minute-long, you know, short stretches. Like, and I'm like, this goes away. So, we'll see. So, weird. I don't know. Maybe they died on you.
I don't know. I'm going to blame it on the ghost, just so I don't have to blame it on my internet connection I pay a lot of money for. But, like...
I got two things, and I'll get to go, because I remember this other thing. So, anyway, So, what are these psychic channel drawings people can get through your site?
Yeah, so I do what I call psychic channel drawings. I go into a trance state and journey through the subconscious of the living. That's how I explain it. But what I'm doing essentially is entering a state of trance with a with drawing materials, and I am blindly drawing what I'm seeing as I journey through the subconscious of the person I'm reading and try to pull out any messages that they need. So it's very similar to like a tarot reading or something like that. Less similar to mediumship, in that I'm not actively trying to contact a spirit or a deceased loved one, but I'm just trying to see where I journey in trance. So I'm, you know, all in my head, I'm trying to see where I journey and kind of what message I can pull out of it while also blindly drawing it.
So that I can
kind of have something tangible for people to have, but it also allows me to look into my drawing further, which ends up a bunch of scribbles and see what images come through the drawing as well. So it's kind of like a double layer of being able to channel and give someone a message from their subconscious or from the other side or wherever it comes from. But sometimes people have spirits come through these drawings. And when it has happened, it's been really, really interesting and really crazy. But it's not guaranteed. Sometimes it's like,
you know,
sometimes it's like, oh, I'm being taken to the bank. You have no money. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like it just depends on like where, why have I talked about being broke a lot? You know what? Money's on the brain right now, and I'm sorry. I just noticed I've been mentioning it a lot because I had my car broke.
I didn't notice you mentioned it much at all.
I just noticed it. It was like the third or fourth time. It's because my car broke down over the weekend, and it was very expensive.
It's on your mind,
Yeah, it's on. See, that's what my subconscious would be telling me if I was doing a drawing about it right now. But it's really cool. And I've in the past, I've been able to contact, you know, one time I saw my barista. I was doing it for her, and I saw her braiding a woman's hair in her kitchen, and I said it was very significant. I watched you braiding this hair, and then a young girl came and whatever. Well, it turns out that week the barista had found a braid of her sister's hair in a bag. Her sister had actually passed away the previous year, and the funeral director had given the braid of hair to the barista, and she had lost it, and she had just found it that week. So that was like her sister coming forward and saying, "Hey, what's up?" And then there was like a further message about, you know, she was dating some guy and not to be with the guy. Anyway, needless to say, these channel drawings go in all different directions, and you end up with a really cool drawing at the end of it that I color, and I often like, you know, I find faces and different imagery in them, and they're really cool. And it's something that I just started offering to the public in, I think it November.
I said, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I want one of those. And then I'm like, well, we'll tie it into Banal of America when we get the video going.
That'd be sick. Sure. I'd be super down. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fun. All right. And the website is prettyeffinspooky.com.
It is prettyeffinspooky.com. And I'm prettyeffinspooky on all social media platforms as well.
Yeah. And she just put on the TikTok on the LinkedIn or whatever the fuck it's called.
My LinkedIn was apparently not updated. And Banal let me know immediately.
There you go. Yeah, because I'm like, I got to Google it. Pretty Up and Spooky is the website. Folks, as you can tell, I'm a huge fan. I really enjoy what Amanda's doing. It's, I mean this in the nice, it's off the wall. It's like, that's to me, you know, that's a cooler way of saying it's outside the box, man. It's off the wall. She really comes up with some really unique ways to look at this stuff and investigate it and try and draw insights out of it. And I'm a huge fan. So you'll be back on the show in the future, and hopefully do more of these ghost things, and maybe we can cross paths somewhere in this great country of ours.
Hopefully. Yes. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed being here again.